I have a Christmas message that I want to present to you tonight, but it's a Christmas message not in the typical sense. I won't be talking about the wise men. I won't be talking about the shepherds. I won't mention Mary and Joseph, nor Simon nor Anna, nor the star, nor the angels, nor the animals that were in the stable that night, nor the camels that carried the wise men from afar, nor the sheep on Bethlehem's hillside, nor baby Jesus. But I will talk about Jesus. You know, this time of year is a hard time and a stressful time for many, many people. It's a time of year that if we're not careful, we'll be overwhelmed by all the things that we're called upon to do this time of year. I mean, the kids will be out of school and be off for a couple weeks. We have family responsibilities as we go to different places to celebrate the holidays. Some of you still have to work, you know, and do that thing on top of everything else. And it's a time of year where our schedule is full. We have more to do than we can get done. And it's also a time of year when many, many people, because of that stress, feel depressed. You've read the statistics just like I have. There's more suicides between Christmas and New Year's, that week between Christmas and New Year's, than there is any other week during the year. There's more nervous breakdowns the week between Christmas and New Year's, according to the studies, than there is any other week of the year. There's more cases of domestic violence the week between Christmas and New Year's than reported any other week of the year. I mean, the time of year that's supposed to be about love and peace, you know, that's what the message of the angels as they gathered on in the sky above the hills in Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But oftentimes, because of what's going on in our lives and around us, that peace turns into turmoil, that goodwill turns into stress and nerves, and at least a good case of the heebie-jeebies. Now, that's Greek. You probably never heard that before. I'll explain it to you sometime. But I will tell you that it's true in our congregation. I can't go into detail because I can't. But there's some things going on in the families of our church that are very, very stressful. That I am very, very concerned about some people that are in our congregation. I mean, some of them were here this morning. As you look at them in the pew, you don't know that anything, you can't tell by how they looked that anything's going on. But they are under some hard times. They are under some stressful times. And I've talked with them, and I try to use the Bible as I try to encourage people, and oftentimes I go back to that verse in Psalm chapter 30, where the Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And so I preach a Christmas message tonight to those of you that may not be stressed yet, but may be stressed in a week or two. That I've entitled, "Everything's All Right in My Father's House." Now, we read from John chapter 14, and I want you to stay with me for just a minute, because I might say something, and you may have never thought about it this way. But I just want you to give me a fair hearing tonight and think about it. We read from John chapter 14. We read about the house that, or the mansion that Jesus is preparing for us in heaven. And I want you to know before I start tonight that I believe in a literal place called heaven. I believe that there is a place where God resides, and that Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven, and that one day he will either come and get us and we'll be raptured. Well, in either case, he'll come and get us. We either go by way of the rapture or we'll go by way of death. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I think the hope that we have as Christians, and it's not a hope that I hope so, but it's a hope that I know so, that one day we will go to that place that Jesus has prepared for us. But I want to remind you tonight that God lives somewhere else. He's in heaven, and I want you to remember, he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. He's not limited by space or distance. And God has another home. God lives in each Christian. I mean, we talk about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when I go back, I'll send the Holy Spirit. But God is a triune God. He's a three-part God. And sometimes we think that those parts are separate. That, you know, there's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And they are separate. And the Bible talks about the different roles that they play. But it's one God. And as the Holy Spirit resides in us, as the Holy Spirit makes his home in us, so does God the Father. So does our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are indwelt by the Godhead. We are indwelt by all three. And so tonight when I say everything's all right in my Father's house, I'm not just talking about heaven. Everything's all right in heaven. What I want to remind you of tonight is everything's okay in this house too. And I want to give you three reasons why everything's okay in my Father's house right here. Number one, everything's okay in my Father's house because the Father is there. Because the Father is there. What makes it the Father's house? The Father makes it the Father's house. And when the Father's in the house, everything is secure, safe, and relaxing. I mean, when you were a small child, and we didn't think about it so much as teenagers. I think we think about it when we're little children, and we sort of forget about it when we're teenagers, and then when we get older, we realize it again that in the place that our daddy is, it's a place of safety, it's a place of security, it's a place that we can be a child and not have to worry about anything because daddy takes care of it all. And I want you to know tonight that everything's all right in my Father's house because my daddy's there, and it's a place of safety, it's a place of security, it's a place where I can be a kid and not have to worry about anything because that's dad's job. He's going to take care of it. I'm glad growing up I had a dad that loved me and that took care of me. I knew without a shadow of a doubt when I was a kid he would provide for me, and I knew he would protect me. I remember two or three specific times where I got into situations over my head. I mean, they had to do with, one of them had to do with taking some wallpaper off a wall in a lady's house and putting up a mural. I think I've told you this story before. I had helped my dad do that in some of the houses that he had worked on. And when this lady at church had a friend who wanted wallpaper taken off and a mural put up, I said, I can do that. I was 15 years old. I'd taken wallpaper off, you know, off of drywall. I had never taken wallpaper off of plaster. It comes off of plaster a little bit different than it comes off of drywall. I won't tell you the other two situations, but I can remember three specific situations where I got into things over my head. My dad let me because he knew I needed to learn something. All three times after I struggled with it for three or four days, he said, okay, I'm going to come help you. We're going to get you out of this situation. I hope you learned your lesson. Never get into these kind of situations again. And for the most part, I can say I did. Never got into them again. I never did put up the mural, by the way. I just told the lady, don't pay me anything. The wallpaper's off after a week and a half and a lot of effort, and just get somebody else to do the mural. But I don't ever remember a time that my dad let me down. I don't ever remember a time that he disappointed me. We did not always agree. There were times that we disagreed about things, but I knew then and I know now that if I needed him, he would be there to help. I've told you this illustration before, but it sort of makes my point. I had just finished college, and I was getting ready to go down to Purdue for a year or so of further study. I was 22 years old, and I had a scholarship They paid for the tuition, they bought the books, and they gave us $400 a month to live on. This back in 1973. And so Debbie and I decided to get married before we went down to Purdue. And so we got married in a little town in Arkansas called Stuttgart. It's the duck capital of the world. A lot of ducks. It's also the rice capital. They grow a lot of rice down there. It's also the mosquito capital of the world. Because when you grow rice, you got a lot of water, and there's a lot of mosquitoes. We got married August the 3rd. There was a lot of mosquitoes in Stuttgart in August. And so we got married. It was a small ceremony, just basically our family and a few people from Debbie's dad's church down there. And so we go back to her house. We change our clothes. We're getting ready to go on our honeymoon. And her dad, my father-in-law, who I love dearly, came up to me. And before we left, he said, "Now look, your wife, my daughter, is the most precious thing I have in the world. I've given her to you. And from this day forward, you are responsible for her. You are responsible for her safety. You are responsible for her well-being. You are responsible for taking care of her." You know, when you're 22 years old, you don't think about that very much. I think it's in the back of your mind, but I mean, he just put it right in the front of my mind, okay? And so, we had a good time on our honeymoon, but all the time that thought was just running through my head. I am now responsible for somebody else beside myself. I am now responsible for somebody else's treasure. And so we went to a place in Arkansas, and we went to a place in Missouri, and then we came back to Michigan, and all our stuff was there. We were getting ready to go to Indiana to school. And we came back and we stayed at my parents' house for a couple days before we went to Indiana. And I remember the feeling that I got walking back into the house. I wasn't responsible anymore because Dad was there. I mean, I still knew that I was her husband and I was responsible, but for at least three more days, I got to be a kid again in Daddy's house, where I knew that he would take care of any problem that came up, that he would protect me, that he would keep me secure. And I want to tell you tonight, everything's all right in my father's house because my daddy is there. He will protect me. He will provide for me. He will give me a sense of security and safety you don't get any place else like you get from your dad. Our Father loves us. Our Father has promised to take care of us and provide for us. And it's calming to know that He's there. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of the stress that we may feel, regardless of the busy schedule we may have to keep, I want to remind you tonight that everything's all right in my Father's house, because Dad's there. Abba, Daddy, that Greek word for daddy, Daddy's there. And when I point to myself, I'm really pointing at you, because everything's all right in your Father's house too. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything's all right, because Daddy is there. Number two, everything's all right because Jesus is there. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I'll be, there ye may be also. And He is preparing a place for us in that place called heaven. But He's doing something else. He's doing something else with God in this house. You see, my elder brother is my advocate. Every time I mess up, my elder brother goes to Daddy on my behalf and says, "Put that under the blood. Put it under the blood. It was paid for on Calvary. Every sin is under the blood. He messed up again. Put it under the blood." Those of you that have brothers can often recall, like I can, that there were times that your brother told on you. I had one of my brothers, the middle one, had a hard time keeping secrets. And he had a hard time keeping his mouth shut. I remember when we were 7 or 8, we were playing football in the living room, which we were not supposed to. And one of us threw a pass, who will remain nameless, and the other one of us didn't catch it, who will remain nameless, and it hit one of my mother's china cups. She had a little collection that she had on a shelf, and that cup broke. Well, they weren't home. I don't know where they were, but they were gone for a little bit. And it broke in big pieces. It didn't shatter, it broke in big pieces. So we got the super glue out, and we glued it back together. We put it back on the shelf, and I said, now look, if you keep your mouth shut, nobody will ever know the difference. They don't drink out of it. It's not going to leak. You can't see that it's broke. Just be quiet about it, and again, nobody will know the difference. Well, he couldn't be quiet. He broke down. I mean, not under questioning with the bright light. He just broke down. He had to tell him. And that's one occasion that the razor strop came out, and we paid for our transgressions. I can remember another time we were playing baseball in my grandparents' backyard. They lived in the east side of Detroit, and it was back in the days where they had alleys. And so behind their backyard was an alley, and there were big garbage bins back there where the garbage people came and collected the garbage. And across the alley, there was a 5-story apartment building. And they had great big garbage bins because it was an apartment building. And we were playing baseball one summer day in the backyard, and we used a rubber-coated hardball. You guys know what I'm talking about, not just a regular baseball, but a rubber-coated hardball. Well, he was pitching. I hit a fly ball. It bounced off one of those garbage bins and went through a 4-story window in the apartment. He was looking at it like this. When he turned around, I was already in the front yard. And I told him, again, just please be quiet. Just don't tell anybody, and nobody will ever know. Well, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. I mean, before we left, he confessed. And Dad didn't have the razor strop, but he took off his belt and let us have it. He just couldn't be quiet. He always told. And the times, I probably shouldn't be telling, especially the kids, this. I don't want you to think your pastor tried to get away with stuff, but he did when he was younger. I remember the time we went to work with my grandfather. He worked in a building in Detroit. We'd ride the bus, and he was a watchman from 3 o'clock till midnight, making sure everything was closed up. And after everybody left, we got to ride the elevators. They had 4 of them. And then they had a freight elevator that went down 2 floors to the basement. And this freight elevator had ledges by each door. On each floor, and I told my brother, hey, you can stand on that ledge, and I can take the elevator down 2 stories, and then you'll just be standing there on the ledge. I think it would just be neat for you to try that. Well, he did it. Nothing happened. Nothing to confess. No sin. I mean, nobody was hurt. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. We got it for that, too. Now, I tell you those stories just to remind you tonight that I have an elder brother that not only doesn't tell on me, but every time I mess up, says, Dad, I'll take the razor strop for that. I'll take the whooping for that. I'll take the punishment for that. There's something secure and makes you feel good when you know that you have an elder brother that sticks up for you. The psalmist says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not transgressions. Everything's all right in my father's house because Daddy's there. Everything's all right in my father's house because Jesus is there. And then number 3, everything's all right in my father's house because he'll be coming to get us soon. He'll be coming to get us soon. Jesus is preparing a place for you. He says, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye will be also. I was talking to a lady in our church a couple weeks ago, a lady that's really going through a tough time, and we're trying to help her as much as we can with some things. But I told her, I said, you know, I don't think this is going to last very long. In the eternal scheme of things. I mean, God puts us through times like this to see if we're going to trust him. God puts us through times like this to see if we're going to just lean on him when we really need to. I don't know why, but God's allowed it to come into your life. There's something that he wants you to learn from it. I can't tell you what it is. I can't see what it is. But he'll get you through it. He never promises us to keep us out of trouble, but he always promises to be there with us in the time of trials and in the time of heartaches and in the times when we wonder if we're going to make it or not. And again, I went back to that verse in Psalm chapter 30. Weeping may endure for a night. You hurt. I can understand how you hurt. I hurt with you. But it won't last forever. Joy will come in the morning. And I was honest with her. I said, that joy may come here, or it may come on the other side of eternity. That joy may come when you get to heaven. And I did something with her that I hardly ever do. I think I've only done it with one other person. We were sitting there talking, and I said, just remember that little song that we sing. Everything's all right. And I sung it to her. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. If you get stressed this season, if you wonder if you can take another minute of what you have to take, I'll remind you tonight, everything's all right in your Father's house because Daddy's there. Daddy's there. We got a couple of our ladies waiting for some results of tests that they took recently. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Daddy's there. He knows what he's doing. He'll keep us safe. I'll also remind you tonight that Jesus is the way to our Father's house. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ, you have no idea of what I've been talking about. You can't know the peace that passeth understanding or the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, but you can know it if you come to him. There's a chorus of that song that says, Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. If you're not on your way to heaven, why don't you come tonight and get a ticket? Fare's already been paid. Jesus paid it on Calvary. He offers that trip to every single person. He offers it to you. If you've not taken him up on his offer, why don't you receive him tonight? The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You can be part of his family. He'll move in. He'll take up residence. He'll make everything all right in the Father's house. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for the comfort that it can give us if we'll let it. And I know that many people here tonight, they won't have much stress. But Father, any that we have, I pray that you'll help us remember that you're with us. You indwell us. And you make everything all right. I pray if there's one here, just one here tonight, that's never received Christ, that you'd help them come. Make that decision tonight to ask Jesus to be their Savior. They're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid it on Calvary. And if they come and ask him, he would save them tonight. I pray for the many Christians here tonight. Again, remind us of the truth that you're with us. That you know what's going on in our life, that you have a plan. And you never put us through anything that you don't give us the ability to handle. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you. Regardless of what's going on, help us to trust you. Just bless this time of invitation. If there's anybody here that needs to get baptized, if there's anybody here that you talked to about joining the church, I pray you'd help them come during this time of invitation. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.